Okay, let's cover sacrifice. And this is a serious point. I hope it's not too serious for you, but I think still at your age, you need to be in this. At your age, I was definitely in this, and it is very, it really served well for the following years. Philippians 3:8 is Paul, again, I use this verse from last week because it's such a overwhelming verse. It's Paul saying, but moreover, I also count all things, and Paul, believe me, had a lot of things. He was top. He was top in many ways in what he was in the old creation. But I count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, comma, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And not only did he lose them, but he counted them as refuse that I may gain Christ. See, this is a believing apostle brother who is saying this. That he has this experience, and then he says, that I may gain Christ, living in the present tense. See, suffer the loss of all things. You know, we just need to lose. Just lose. You know, this week with my wife, we heard some stories about some people or something we knew in the past, and they were obviously successful and so forth. And anyway, one of them asked us to why don't we get together and have coffee and so forth. And then, you know, what would we do? Talk about all the old people we knew, what they were doing now, what presidents they were president of, or they were Dr. So-and-so, or, you know, they played in the NFL or something like that. And my wife and I looked at each other and we just, and I said, you know, dear, we just haven't left our mark on society, have we? Nope. We missed it. We lost. We really didn't accomplish anything worthwhile in their eyes. But, you know, David had this problem one time when he saw success. And then he says, I went into the sanctuary and I saw their end. You see, really, it's vice versa. They really don't have not even a thing, unless they're a believer. They don't have a thing to boast in, not a thing, you see. But if we've even just had a small experience of being one with Christ, we're so far ahead in God's eyes. And Paul realized this, no doubt. Then a good verse, I always think, is just to show it's not a matter of the asceticism that has gone on through centuries. Paul does not mean that, because he says in this verse in 1 Corinthians, and if I dole out all my possessions to feed others, and if I deliver up my body that I may boast, but do not have love, I profit nothing. So it's not a matter of just some kind of asceticism. You did great heroic things. You gave up millions and this and that. It just depends on whether you do what you do being one with Christ. You see, it's not if you're not doing this motivated by the love of the Lord, Paul says it doesn't mean anything. See, so we don't care for anything done just for the sake of doing it. No, we want fruit of the Spirit, so they will really be a factor in building up the body of Christ. Okay. Then this is very touching. 2 Corinthians 6:10. It says, as Paul testifying, he says these words, as made sorrowful. See, he's an apostle with others that are with him, and they are many times made sorrowful. That's due to their getting so involved with the problems and difficulties of the believers that needed so much help that they were many times made sorrowful. Then he says, yet, always rejoicing. You see, there's a little two sides to this thing here. See, always rejoicing. He was a sorrowful rejoicer. Doesn't sound right, does it? But it's the way it is. See, this shows he was really a good shepherd. Then he says, as poor, which certainly they were, yet enriching many. See, that was his life. So he didn't make a mark in outward ways, but he enriched so many people. And his writings have enriched countless millions, right? His epistles. Then he says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Isn't that something? This is what we, brothers, listen. All you young sisters, listen. Go for it. Go for what? Go for possessing all things. Amen. Go for it. You say, oh, it's too big a price. It's too big. The sacrifice is too much. Really? Really? You would rather have something earthly-wise and be in poverty on the riches of Christ? You'd rather prefer that? I don't think really you do. So don't listen to all this noise out there that gives you a kind of a philosophy. Everything fades, you know. Youth and beauty, remember that song? Fade away. Okay. They're gone. And when you're young, it's hard to think that way. But if you pay the price, you get through and you win. You see, you don't have to repent after 20 or 30 years of living basically a worldly life. You get to go for it now. And I exhort you to do that, to pay the price, to do it so that you can have the riches of Christ and a good conscience, you know, and be a rejoicing person. Okay, then in Hebrews 10, 9 and 10 it says, he then has said, Paul wrote Hebrews, pulling this verse out of the Old Testament, behold, I have come to do your will. That's Christ. And when Christ said that and did it, he takes away the first. That's the first covenant, that he may establish the second. Then it says, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That was the will of God, that he would be offered up as a sacrifice that would enact the second covenant of grace, you see. And now, because he was faithful to the will of God, you see, we are enjoying all the blessings of the new covenant, right? Well, sacrifice really comes down to doing, it's very simple, it's do either his will or my will. So one will is done, one will dies. Okay? Make your choice. And don't dally around with it. Well, I'll just kind of take it easy a little bit and we'll see if I... Don't play it safe. Just go ahead and be a fool for Christ. Just go ahead and do that way. See, be so far away from the line that separates my will and God's will. You just went so far. You're a fool. That's what Paul's testimony was, that that's what he was.